So Jesus is answering the question here, and he goes and gives many signs, many things that will happen upon the face of the earth in reference to the coming of Christ. And he says one of the things that will be prevalent at that time is that no man will know the day nor the hour. The angels do not know it, but he did say the Father only. Now hear what he's saying. I have said this so many times, sometimes I get just totally weary with repeating myself on this particular phase. It's not grievous to me, but for you it's safe, as the apostle says. Jesus told us that there was a day and an hour known by the Father way back there 2,000 years ago. And in the beginning, the Father knew the ending, the time of the end. He said it. Are you getting what I'm declaring to you today? The coming of Christ does not depend upon mankind doing something, or the church fulfilling something, or the body of Christ becoming something or other. The coming of Jesus Christ is a time that the Father has set. He is coming in the fullness of that time. The body of Christ will be a glorious church. The gospel of the kingdom will have been preached into all the world. Let no one fool you. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness to all men. Then shall the end come. He didn't say you're going to do it if you like to or if we decide to do it. No. His messengers have done it. They are fulfilling Scripture. The Word of God is coming to pass. The coming of the Lord is drawing near. And there is nothing you or I can do to prevent it, circumvent it, or to ignore it. Jesus is coming. And ladies and gentlemen, He is coming in this, the last generation of time, predicted, prophesied, proclaimed, and set up by Almighty God before His coming. This generation, this time period will not come to its conclusion before all of these things are restored and Christ has come and the Word of God is fulfilled. Now, for any of you to go around and tell us and tell me or tell anybody else that there are certain things we have to do before Jesus comes, you are in error. You are a liar. You are turning the truth of God into a lie. I picked up a periodical today again where one of our preacher brothers is trying to tell us there's still hope for America and that God is still putting saving souls today. And you see, the only reason that these men do that is because their livelihood, their lifestyle that they have chosen to live, that is not a self-denying one, where they are unwilling to bear the cross, demands that they be successful in the ministry. Because their livelihood, their lifestyle that they have chosen to live, that is not a self-denying one, where they are unwilling to bear the cross, demands that they be successful in the ministry. They are seeking their own. No preacher who wants to prolong the coming of Christ loves Christ. No matter how much you want to say you love Him, you know, the Bible says that Christ would appear the second time unto salvation, unto redemption, to all men who love His appearing. No, you rather see America repent, wouldn't you? You rather see the nations turn back to God, and then all of this plan
And all of this that God has laid out, which was going to come to pass on time, in time, and right on time, you would like to have that prolonged or pushed aside. That would literally make God a liar. But you would prefer that. You would prefer God being a liar to have maybe your grandma saved or your rebellious children saved or your nation saved. So the brother went on to say that there's always people and that God has intended to save people. There's always going to be people. But he has declared that there is a generation that he has prepared for his wrath, my friends. He has declared it very clearly. And in Noah's day, when God moved and warned Noah, notice, he didn't warn anybody else. Noah's lifestyle was an indictment against those who did not receive a warning from God. Noah didn't warn the people. Do you hear me? He didn't warn them. No, sir. The Bible said Noah, who was warned of God, he moved with fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his own household. Not for the saving of the world. Not for the saving of mankind. No, the Bible said the ark that he built and the obedience that he had actually condemned the world. Shut them out. And eventually the door was shut. Sure, Noah built the ark. The door was wide open. There was a sign of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Even in judgment, God was remembering mercy. Yet men spurned his mercy. No one went in the door. They stood there as we can visualize, and they mocked and they laughed as Noah went in. They thought he was crazy, preaching a flood coming, rain coming. You're out of your mind, Noah. That's never happened. It will never happen. There won't be no nuclear war. No, sir, Brother Stair. Well, you're wrong, ladies and gentlemen. But there's no sense trying to warn most of you because you're not heeding the warning. So I appeal to you that hear the voice of God and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Prepare an ark. Prepare your calling and election. Get yourself right with your God. Because the day of judgment is here. No preacher, no church, no praying, no fasting. Nothing is going to change the will of God for this hour, this day that is coming, that was set by the Father. And at the right time, that secret will also be revealed to the church through the holy prophets. Hallelujah. We've been trying our best with the help and the grace of Almighty God to convey to the generation that we're preaching to the purpose and the means for which God raises up a prophet like he has with this yours truly, the last day prophet of God. Now I know somebody's going to hear that. You're going to come right on back at me and say, well, you think you're the only one? Ladies and gentlemen, why do you ask questions like that? Was Jesus the only one? Was Paul the only one? Was Peter the only one? Was John the Baptist the only one? Was Elijah the only one? Yes, they were. They were the ones that God, in their time, had committed a certain thing for each one of them to do, and they were the only one. Peter could not do Paul's job. Paul could not do Peter's job. And no one could do the Lord Jesus Christ's work. Ladies and gentlemen, John the Baptist was absolutely in a position where he could not have failed. You say, brother, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that our God, our sovereign God, our almighty God is controlling and bringing about the very purpose for which he ordained and created man for. Now let's go back to this business of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Will you listen to it again? of that day and that hour knoweth no man. Now it did say that man controls the day and the hour in which Christ is going to come. It just simply says that the day and the hour that has been predetermined by the sovereignty of Almighty God at the time that Jesus was speaking had not been revealed to any man. No man, Jesus said, knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord. He said, not even the angels are aware of that precise day. That is a secret that the Father only knows. Now, there's no place in the Bible that tells that God is going to keep all of the secrets to Himself. For instance, the Scriptures tell you clearly that when God gets ready to do something, He will do nothing. He will do nothing that will be a secret to His people. Because He will first reveal His secrets to His servants, the prophets. And then those that receive the prophets will receive that revelation of that secret. So the Bible doesn't imply in any shape or form that men would go on totally in ignorance and not knowing the purpose and the plan of God. In fact, the Scriptures tell you in Romans chapter 12 to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, entirely, completely, over to God, so that God may prove through you His good and His perfect will. Well, praise the Lord. Submit yourselves to the Lord. Be not unwise, the Bible says. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Then in the book of the New Testament we read, eyes have not seen, and ears have not heard, and neither hath it entered into the heart of unregenerated, unconverted man, or the carnal man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. You see how God makes a difference here with those who are just men, those who are just carnal, unregenerated, unconverted. God reveals nothing to them, shows them nothing. Oh, they're wise in worldly wisdom, and in much of that they are wiser than the church. But God's secrets, God's truths are only revealed to them that love Him. Notice it again. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. But unto us. You see the difference? Oh, may God help you, poor, blind, deluded, ignorant saints out there who don't understand God's terminology and God's meaning. Unto us hath He revealed it. Revealed what? His secrets. How? Through His prophets to the church to prepare them for whatever they have to deal with. You people out there trying to make this end time scenario what you want it to be, where you think there's going to be a great revival and a great spiritual awakening, you are defying God's revealed word. Either you are doing it in ignorance or you're doing it in willingly ignorance. Because the word of God is clear in reference to the time, the conditions, the purpose, the reactions, the character, the morality, the religious system of the day in which the Lord's going to come. They are clearly, clearly set before you. Jesus one time spoke to the religious leaders of His day and said, you hypocrites, you can discern when it's going to rain or when the storms or clouds are coming, but you just cannot seem to discern the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it with you who say you love Christ and you don't know that every sign mentioned in the Bible is quickly taking place before your very eyes? Do you still have to read there should be wars and rumors of wars? If there's ever been a generation for the last 40 to 50 years who's lived with wars and constant rumors of wars. This has been the one. And pestilence, plagues hitting South America, AIDS sweeping the world, and earthquakes in divers places. You still looking for those things to come to pass? They're being fulfilled now. You so blind that you ignore God's clear signs. Nation shall rise against nation. But we have the United Nations. Yes, we do. And it's a classic example of one nation being able to rise up in a public forum against another nation. Kingdom against kingdom. You still looking for these things to take place? I told you here some time ago that Jesus said all of these were, are, and is the beginning of sorrows. Ever since the First World War that was proclaimed, connived, planned, and purposed by satanic influence upon the face of the earth and permitted by Almighty God to come to pass, we have seen the beginning of sorrows. There has not been a people upon the face of the earth that has not undergone intensified sorrows. Hundreds and thousands of American boys have given their life's blood in the prime of their life on foreign soils to establish democracy and liberty as we declare it today. Now we watch the United Nations and the United States government slowly giving our liberties, our freedoms away, embarrassed to declare that we are a Christian nation under God, refusing to allow our children to pray in school or read the Bible while we practice our witchcraft and our evil and our drug addiction and our immorality. Ladies and gentlemen, beginning of sorrows, worldwide catastrophes taking place daily. Millions are in jeopardy. The scriptures said of the time that would just preclude the coming of the Lord, there would be a time of trouble. Men's hearts would fail them for fear. God help you. He said there will never be a historical event that is going to parallel with the tragedy that's going to sweep upon the face of the earth. It will be so devastating. It will be so destructive. Even though there are over 5 billion people living on the earth, the scriptures make it very clear that the destructiveness of war and pestilence and famine will literally threaten the survival of all living human beings and animal flesh upon the face of the earth. Jesus puts it like this: except those days be shortened, there would no flesh be saved, no one living upon the earth. Satan, in his diabolical scheme to destroy the purpose and the plan of God through his church, which is just a remnant of believers living upon the face of the earth, will make a move to annihilate the church by destroying every living thing in his hopes to get the body of Christ. The historical significance and parallel to that is the day that Jesus was born. And the king of that hour, hearing the news that there was born a king of the Jews, tried to locate him, but couldn't find him because by revelation, the body of Jesus had been hidden, as the Father had it revealed to him by the Holy Ghost to go and hide Jesus. The king was wroth. He ordered that every baby under the year of 2 years would be killed, brutally murdered. A time of child abuse, ladies and gentlemen, of butchering children took place at the birth of Jesus. And the purpose of that was that because he could not identify the baby Jesus, he knew that he had to be 2 years and under. And his thinking was, if I kill all the babies 2 years and under, I will get this child, this body that was destined or proclaimed to become the King of the Jews. And so it is in this last day that the diabolical satanic rule that is going to sweep across the nation and around the world that is now being set in place under Mr. George Bush and Mr. Gorbachev in the New World Order that will receive its strength from the false religious system, the Roman Catholic Church and all of her daughters who will finally line up with heathenistic Judaism, who will still insist on patterning itself under the Old Testament redemption plan instead of accepting their Messiah. And disillusionment will fall across the face of the earth. Spiritual darkness will clamp the minds and the souls of men and women. And ladies and gentlemen, in order to eliminate the one threat that they have, the body of Christ, those who are destined to become rulers with Christ and to rule and reign with Him 1,000 years upon the face of the earth, Satan will place it within the hearts of this one world, new world order, and the government and the religious system to annihilate every living person, if need be, in order to get to the body of Christ. You say, Brother Stair, that doesn't make sense. It does it. Then why don't you look at the first one who betrayed Jesus? There he went out and betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Eventually, he realized that he couldn't accomplish what he really wanted to accomplish, and that same spirit of greed, that same spirit of lust, that same spirit of insanity that caused him to sell the body of Christ to betray the Holy One of Israel, caused him to go out, hang himself, kill himself. The Bible said he went out and hung himself, and his body fell from the tree he was hanging down to the bottom of the ravine, and his bowels, his innards gushed out. Let no one fool you. All you who serve Satan, all you who defy the God of heaven who gave his gift of life through Jesus Christ, all of you, you are going to be destroyed by the same spirit that you are given vent to in your rebellion against righteousness and truth and holiness. No, Jesus is not coming today. No, Jesus will not return back to earth this year. No, there will be no rapture before the great tribulation. No, ladies and gentlemen, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a time set. A set time. Christ is not coming any time. He is coming on time. The Father God in heaven knows the day. The Father God in heaven knows the hour. And when it is the right time, He will reveal that as a source of strength, as a source of power to keep His church. See, I will do it again for you. I will show you again the pattern of God. He had Noah spend 100 years building the ark. Now the boat's done. Everything seemed to be continuing as it was. Noah wasted 100 years, it looked like. There he was sitting there in his humanity. No doubt in my mind, wondering if he had missed God, or if he had lost his mind, or had all this 100-year period gone in vain. And then God spoke to his heart. Then God spoke to him. Noah, go on, Noah. Get into the ark now. Just get on in there. Well, how long will I have to sit in that ark? Nobody knows when the flood's coming. How long will I have to stay there with my children? How can I keep them content inside that ark? God said, Noah, you just go ahead and get in that ark. You just get in there. And then he told him exactly, yet 7 days. Yet 7 days. Look at Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Why was Noah considered righteous? Because he believed what God said. That's how righteousness is imputed or given to man. They believe what God says. He believed that God meant what he said and said what he meant. And now God is going to test him one more time by speaking to him. Go on, he says. Get into the ark. Believe me. Trust me. But it's not raining yet, God. There's no sign of a flood. There's no sign of the destruction that you told me. Don't question me, Noah. Just believe me. Well, God, how long do I have to stay in the ark? And then God reveals to him. Then God reveals to this prophet Noah, yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Then he tells them how long it will rain. It will rain 40 days and 40 nights. It will rain unto every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. The point is that God revealed to Noah the day that it was going to begin to rain. Now I'm sure that even when it came down to that nearness of time, if Noah would have turned around and said to the people around about him, folk, look, you did help me build the ark. You did help me make the provisions. But in 7 more days, it's going to rain. Come on. Come on into the ark. How many of you think would have believed him? They didn't believe him. They mocked him even further. And isn't that the way it is today? Some of you have no provisions. You've done nothing. And you can do nothing to be saved. And Christ is saying, look, it's about over. Come on into the ark of safety. Make your calling and election sure. Just 3.5 more years. Just 42 months. That's what's going to be the major sign at the beginning of the tribulation. It will be known to the prophets and the people of God, and we will tell you now emphatically, stop planning for your old age. Stop working for retirement. 1,290 days and it's over. How many of you think is going to believe us? Are you going to believe it? Are you prepared to believe it? You haven't believed God to this point when he told you to come out of her. When he told you to come out from among them, you haven't believed him to this point. You doubt him when it comes down to his statement, by grace are you saved, and to obey his laws, and to keep his commandments, and to honor his Sabbath. You haven't believed him up to this point. What makes you think you believe when that final witness has gone forth? No, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to have to be in the habit of believing God. And God has tried so many of you so many times, the trial of your faith. When sickness comes, do you flee to him for healing and trust him only for deliverance? No, you've run to the doctors. You've submitted to operations. You've filled your bodies with drugs. You refuse to believe that he is the healer, and he alone. And you distort his word. Will God put doctors here? No, he did not. Is that clear enough? God's method is not through medicine, or through doctors, or pills, or operations, or drugs. With his stripes, we are healed. When I joined the church, I've turned over a new leaf. That's not God's way of salvation. God's way of salvation is by grace through faith. And your faith produces works. You obey the gospel. You repent. You get baptized. And you walk in truth. And you obey his word. And that's how you become a recipient. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. For according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been trying to tell you the importance or reason why God raised me up, gave me the boldness, the courage, the conviction, and the faith to declare
in spite of opposition from the world, from within the church, from brothers, true and false, declaring that I have no right to do, to declare, to be what I declare, and to do that I am doing. But this is the voice of a last day prophet of God. God told me to cry out against PTL and Jim Swigert, and then he brought them down, just like he told me he would do. Well, why don't you cry out so much against TBN and Pat Robinson? I've done that. But they're part of the Antichrist system. That's right. That's right. Pat Robinson running for president joined the world system. And TBN, it's not even worth discussing. They are so whorish in their religious approach. So you just go ahead. You see, it's part of the strong delusion that God said he would permit you who don't love the truth to believe a lie so you may all be damned. So you keep on supporting the Roman Catholic Church and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin and Bob Tilton and Fred Price and the Eckenbergs or whatever their name is up there in New York State. And you just keep on giving your money to TBN with their powdered and painted up women and their Hollywood style preachers with their merchandisers of the truth. You just keep right on doing it. That's all right. I have no problem with that. If God has ordained that you believe a lie and be damned, I do not go against the will and the word of God. The reason why God keeps me on the radio with all of these fine soothsayers and smoothsayers and teachers, had a voice of one crying in the wilderness of religious hypocrisy. The only reason why God keeps me here is for the same reason that he made Elijah go back and deal with Jezebel, was because he had 7,000 that God had reserved, and they were hiding in the caves, but God reserved them, and Elijah was commanded to go back and deal with Jezebel. He finally did. He spoke the word, said she'll be fed to the dogs. Long after he was dead, perhaps 10 or 15 years, the judgment of God came upon Jezebel, and she was devoured by the dogs. And so God has kept me here to deal with the Jezebel spirit of the religious system. And I'm telling you again, the Roman Catholic Church is not a Christian church. The Methodist Church is not a Christian church. The Episcopal, the Anglican, the Assembly of God, the UPC, the Baptists, they are exactly what they say they are. Roman Catholic Church is a Roman Catholic Church. The Anglican Church is an Anglican Church. The Methodist Church is a Methodist Church. The Baptist Church is a Methodist Church. But they are not Christian. Christ's Church is not divided, ladies and gentlemen, by those titles, those names, those divisional structures, and those traditions of men. That is not the church that Jesus is building. The apostolic church. The Trinitarian church. You are carnal when you use those terms. You walk as men. You think as men. You do not think as God. For God is not thinking in that manner. The church of Jesus Christ, that holy remnant, that number that has been reserved unto God to be his church, the church without spot, without wrinkle, is going to be a people that will be despised, rejected. They will come out of the religious system. They will separate themselves from the world and all the things that the world has. They will not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many times over the years I've told you what those things are. You love your home. You love your cars. You love your clothes. You love your lifestyle. You won't deny yourself. You're not being taught to do that by the teaching apostate ministries of this day. They're declaring that God wants you to have this and God wants you to have that, and God never declared that. God said, if you're my disciple, if you're one who's going to be identified as part of my church, Jesus said, you will deny self. It will be a cross, but you will bear it. You will suffer for my name's sake, because you do as I have said, you will be hated. Well, I've done that. Then I cried out against America, the most wicked nation since the nation of Israel of the Old Testament, a people who have rejected the word of God, the grace of God, the law of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. Yes, I have cried out against this nation. There are several things I have established. I've established that the ministry of Elijah, the ministry of restoration, has begun. And I have declared, as I do every day on the broadcast, that it's just about completed. The reason why I say that is because of the scripture in the book of Revelation talking about Jesus who was received up into heaven, or excuse me, in the book of Acts. The Bible says in the first chapter of Acts, up into heaven. That's what it says. And then it goes on and declares to you and me that the heavens must receive him until the restoration or the restoring of all things. Every God-given morality, conviction, truth, and revelation must be restored to the people of God before Jesus comes. It says there in Acts that Jesus will be received up into heaven, be kept there until the restitution of all things that is spoken of by the holy prophets since the world began. That scripture was driven home to my heart by Brother Ray Pringle. Notice I still call him brother because he is. Brother Ray Pringle drove that home to me and it stuck like a knife in my heart. And it was through that that God began to restore back to me the ability and the willingness to keep God's law. And in that law is the seventh day commandment. Thou shalt remember, he said, the Sabbath day. So all of you people out there that believe in the restoration, you are going to go back and you are going to keep the Sabbath day, the seventh day, not the first day. And as long as you insist on keeping the first day of the week, you are still part of the pagan religious system that you have been told to come out of. You are going to become part, if you are God's people, of the restoration of keeping the Sabbath, obeying God's moral law, not the law of Moses, the law of God, under the power of grace. We shall become a perfect people, singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, going on to perfection, the restoration of all things. That's the reason why I declare unto you, ladies and gentlemen, that it's about to be completed. We have come back to that. And the true people of God, it is by this you know. The Bible says you can tell who is a child of God and who's not. And he that is born of God doth not commit sin. And sin is transgression of the law. And in this, you can tell who is a child of God and who's not. The Bible even tells you that in the book of John. It's very clear how it reads that to you. By this the children of God are manifested. Who's of God and who's not? That's what it tells you there. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, does not transgress God's law. For his seed, the word of God, remaineth in him. And he just cannot sin. He just will not break God's law. In this, the children of God are manifest, or made known, or revealed, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, or does not keep God's law, is just not of God. It's just not of God. And he can't even love his brother, because the law is based on two commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is equal, love your neighbor and your brother as you do yourself. So the restoration of all things is about to be completed. We're going to go the full cycle. Yes, we are. And then, ladies and gentlemen, I have established very loud and clear that the door of grace is closing. I firmly believe it's closed. I do not, listen to me carefully now, I do not believe that you ought to cast your pearls before swine. This is a swine generation, a dog generation. Many of the Christian people have done exactly what the Bible said. They are like the swine. They have turned back to their wallowing. They're like the dog they turned back to their vomit. How else can you explain most of you Christian women who said you got saved and you still powder and paint your face and wear your shorts and flaunt your sexuality and you do nothing to stem the lust of your life? And you men who spend hours in front of TV, you're back to your wallowing. You're back to your vomit. You are not the church. You are swine. You are dogs. The Bible says without are dogs. The true church of Jesus Christ does not go back to its wallowing, does not go back to its vomit, to the ways of the world, to its old lifestyle. The true people of God serve God and hate the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, you're self-righteous. No, you can't become self-righteous obeying God's law. You become the righteousness of God in Christ. No, God did not tell Noah to try to save the world. He just told Noah what to do to save himself. And as I have said so many, many times, God gave them up in Noah's day. And God, regardless of what any of these preachers out here want to tell you, has given up on this generation. That's the reason why you are seeing the rise of homosexuality, and it is becoming a predominant lifestyle, and the rise of immorality and the breaking down of every moral law that God has established, because God has withdrawn His spirit of restraint. The Holy Ghost has been grieved. In just about every church you go to, you will find lust everywhere. Lust for cars, lust for power, lust for sex, immorality everywhere. And you better not take a stand against it. Them dogs will devour you, them swine. The Bible said, don't cast your pearl before a swine. He will turn and rend you. You go over there and preach holiness to a bunch of these charismatics and they'll turn around and they'll cut you to pieces. You preach honoring God's law and keeping God's commandments to these charismatics and these apostate Pentecostal holiness, whatever you want to call yourself, you apostolics who will not change your ways of practicing Christmas and Easter and paganism, they'll turn and rend you. You cast your pearl to dogs and they'll devour you. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And I don't care if you folk don't like what I'm saying. Just go ahead and be a dog. Go ahead and be a swine. Go ahead and be a heathen. God said, let the heathen rage. And we're going to let you rage. You're going to let you do your thing. We're not going to get in the way. We're not going to argue with God when God declares that the heathen are going to rage. You practice the way of the heathens. You learn the way of the heathens. Go ahead and rage and imagine your vain things. Make all your plans about how you're going to set up a good kingdom on earth. Go ahead. But that's not the way God said it's going to take place. And all you got to do is turn back there until the book of Psalms chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Why the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. And how do they do it? Against the Lord and against His anointed. And they say, let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords. Let's get rid of this fundamentalism, this Bible-thumping, God-fearing, holy-living people who declare that God still has a mandate for the world. Let's break their bands. Let's cast it aside. Let's create a new religion. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. They then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Now that's what God's going to do. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this nation has sinned away its day of grace. There will be no more grace for America. Oh, but if we'll just humble ourselves. Well, we won't. Well, if we can pray, we're not doing it. Well, if we'll turn from our wicked ways. Wicked ways? Who in America even admits that we have a wicked way? These devices of churches are wicked. Our government is wicked. The Bible said spiritual wickedness. My God, can I get that home to you? Can I drive it home to you? Oh, but Mr. Bush, he prays.
not to the God of heaven.
You churches, the Bible told you to lift up holy hands. No, my friends, the day of grace for America and the world is over. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, the first thing He does is convince men of sin. Now you just try to convince anybody out here in this world today that they are sinners. Preacher, president, prophet, sheep, shepherd, they justify their sin. They excuse their sin. They hardly ever call it sin. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is not allowed anymore to convict men of sin. You say, I don't believe that. Well, how come you can sit in front of your TV then and you say you got the Holy Ghost and you're not convicted of the sin of that? Or wasting your money, or going in debt, or running to the doctor, they are sin. You got the Holy Spirit and you've grieved Him so hard, He can't even convince you of sin. Or you're blessed in Sunday worship and you call it the Sabbath. Now, God is not worshipped by days. So, the Sabbath is not a day of worship. It's a day of rest, and Saturday is the seventh day that God has hallowed, that you give to Him and honor Him in it. But you defy it, and who can convince you that you're sinning when you don't do it? And loving the world and pleasure. Can you be convinced that it's sin? No, you can't. Why? Because you have grieved the Spirit. You have quenched the Holy Ghost. You have stifled the Word of God. Am I convincing you of sin now? The Holy Spirit that's burning like fire in my soul and filling my worth with the soul of the Lord and the Word of God like fire in my mouth? Are you letting it convince you of sin? Are you allowing the Spirit of repentance to grip your soul? No. Most of you are mocking, because fools make a mock of sin. This nation and this world is a foolish world. You have rejected the Holy One of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, we have sinned away our day of grace. We have frustrated grace. The next thing the Holy Ghost is going to do, and He's doing it now, is convince men of sin and then of judgment. Judgment is coming. Convince men of sin, try to convince you to do right, and since you won't accept it, you will be judged. The judge is at the door. That is the truth, the whole truth, God-given truth. Thus saith the Lord. Let me recap a little bit about the ministry that we have endeavored to accomplish in the last 6 years that God has raised us up. First, we operated, and I believe instituted, the final Spirit of Elijah ministry. God even sent me to the Soviet Union to locate and find someone to lay hands on and ordain him to the ministry of Elijah in the Soviet Union. You don't hear much about that, but it's going on. It's being accomplished. From all parts of the world, we hear men who relate to us that God has ordained for that. The restoration of all things has begun, and it's now in its final stages. I told you the door was going to be closed. The door of grace. God spoke to me and said, when tribulation begins, no one's going to be saved. The only one that will witness for Christ are those who are saved before the tribulation. You can't get right with God in this hour, in this day. You aren't going to get right with God when the Spirit of God has ceased to draw men, as He said in the days of Noah. He said to Noah, don't expect anybody else to get on board that ship.
Well, when did He say that, Brother Starr?
He told Noah, my Spirit will not always strive with man. And even though that door of that gigantic ark stood wide open for 7 days, giving the invitation to whosoever will, the Spirit did not draw anyone or compel or convict anyone to go into that ark. And even so it is today, with the message of grace that's been proclaimed and the free, eternal life gift of God being offered to all mankind, yet very, very few are coming in. Ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God is not drawing men to Christ anymore. You see, what has taken place
is that those who have been dealt with by the Holy Spirit, they have grieved Him. They have grieved the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, He leaves you. David said, "Cast me not away from Thy presence, O God. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me." America is a nation that has become void of the Spirit of righteousness, truth, the Holy Ghost. Every foul deed is being done. Every immoral thing is being done. I just received today a paper from an apostolic church that is now uncovering some of the spiritual wickedness taking place in the United Pentecostal Church, which is supposed to be one of the elite of the apostolic churches. Pollution everywhere. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That which has been done in secret is now being hurled from the housetop. All things shall be made manifest by the light, the scripture says. No, my friend, the churches, the people, the preachers, prophets, priests, presidents, politicians have all grieved the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know it's the truth. I have to thank God, and I do, as I think of how God, by His grace, has sustained me, through His blood has cleansed me, by His power has kept me. Oh, how I plead, like David of old, "Search me, O God, daily. See if there be any wicked way in me." You see, the Bible says that the people of God will turn from their wicked ways, but they won't. They're not. The Holy Spirit has been so grieved. The Holy Spirit told us not to watch that filthy stuff on TV. It would pollute our minds, warp our spirits. But we kept right on watching, didn't we, church? The Holy Spirit told us to trust God, to lean not onto the arm of flesh. We went back to credit and buying in credit and getting in debt and getting ourselves enslaved and in bondage to the world system. We hooked up with Medicare and Blue Cross and the doctors and the medicines until most Christians today have no faith at all in the healing power of God. They allow themselves to be cut on and doped up and finally put to death, because Jesus made it very clear, when you mess with the doctor, you're going to suffer at the hands of those physicians. You will end up losing all you have, and you will not get any better. There is no healing medicine upon the face of the earth. The only healing there is for the people of God is in Jesus Christ. No, the door has been shut, my friend. The only way anyone's going to be saved today is by obedience under the fear of God, obeying the Lord. That's right. Noah was offered grace in his day when God had shut the door of grace to the generation he lived in. Noah found grace because of his obedience. Noah found grace because he feared God. Noah found grace because he moved with that fear and obeyed God. The only way any of you are going to be a recipient of the grace of God is to do that which you know now is right to do. It is right to keep God's law, to obey His commandments, to walk holy, to separate yourself from the world, to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you, to come out from among them, be separate, come out of her. That's the command of God. The only way grace is going to be sufficient for you is for you to obey. You say, "Preacher, I don't buy that. It doesn't make any difference." May I make you understand that I am not here trying to get your approval on what I say. I am not here trying to throw something out here and get everybody out there saying, "Well, I agree with it." Your disagreements, your attitude towards what I say has no bearing, no impact on anything that I do. I serve the true and the living God. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am a prisoner of the Lord. I am one who will live and die in His will. I will trust the judgment of Almighty God. I am free from all men. I will not be coerced. I will not be bullied. I will not be frightened into pleasing you. You men, many of you, you so-called preachers, who God has brought under the tutelage of this prophet of God, and you insist that you're going to go out and you're going to still win souls to Christ, and you're going to do contrary to the Word of God. You are not going to do it. You are not going to do it. The end of all things is at hand. And the next thing you can look for, my friend, is the revelation of the Antichrist and the countdown of the 1,290 days after you witness the abomination that maketh desolate. In those two acts, you will find the synonymous of what I'm talking about. It will be in that act of the abomination of desolation. And I have spoken to you. I have established it to you. I've told you what it's going to be when the Jewish nation finally receives the permission from the New World Order. And the Roman Catholic Church will finally recognize Israel's right to exist along with the Palestinians. The temple will go up quickly in Jerusalem on the mount. And they will revert quickly to the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. And the high priest will one more sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats upon the altar of the sanctuary. But when they do that, they will commit the abomination that will make Israel, Jerusalem, forever desolate. The presence, the power, and the promise of God will be withdrawn, and they will become desolate. Their house will be left unto them without God's identity. Oh yes, my friend, in that process, the man of sin will eventually make his move. He will set himself up and declare he is God. He will declare he's the Messiah. The Jewish nation will swallow it. The Protestant churches will swallow it. The Catholic Church and the Pope will substantiate it and proclaim it and declare it. Just a few days ago, I heard how a Catholic priest on worldwide Christian radio, shortwave, out of Nashville, Tennessee, made a proclamation. And I have them all around here where this Pope believes deeply that he is Christ. He does not say he is Christ or the vicar of Christ. He declares he is the Christ. Yes, my friend, although he is not, he will fulfill the office of the false prophet. He will present a government ruler who will do the bidding of the church. Just like the high priest had the Roman government do the bidding in the days of Christ and turned Christ over to the Roman government, the body of Christ, in order to be crucified. Even will this religious system that you and I are living in today create a government and substantiate it and give power to it. It tells you that in Revelation 13, that the second beast gave power or credence or identity to the first beast. They will create a government that they will then use to come against the body of Christ, the church, and they will seek to destroy it, to crucify it, and to defeat it. And they did nail Christ to the cross and lay him in a tomb, and they will prevail over the church, but they forget about the power of resurrection. The hope of the New Testament remnant of the body of Christ is the power of resurrection. Jesus said, go ahead and destroy this body, but on the third day I will raise it up again. After 3 years, my friend, of the church being battered and Satan prevailing and just a holy remnant surviving, holding fast to the promise of his coming, the church will rise in a perfect body and withstand the onslaughts of the devil, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I have said before, and I want to say it again, as I come to the end of this particular broadcast, and this particular radio series, the coming of Jesus Christ is going to take place in this, the final decade, closing out this, the last generation, before the glorious time of his coming. His coming is set. The day and the hour is set. The Father knows it. He has not yet revealed it, but he will in due time. It will be strength to the church. It will give them hope. It will give them courage to press on, for it won't be long. May I make you grasp that today. Let no one fool you. The day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord will come. The heavens will melt. Christ will be revealed from heaven, not tiptoeing in some secret rapture, snatching somebody away, but with the blast of a trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise. They will meet the Lord in the air, and their Lord will come with the 10,000s of those resurrected saints to do what the Bible declares he would do, as it was prophesied in the very beginning, as the seventh man from Adam prophesied, the seventh, God's